This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.
With the Bears, with the resources they have, with the salary cap space, top 10, I think top six right now in cap space. I talked about the draft picks, the 10th overall, 2 second rounds, a third, a fifth, a sixth, and 2 7ths. I don't know about you, Dan. I could not, and I understand they're not going to reveal this kind of stuff, and it's hard to get clues on it right now. I had a hard time interpreting from Ryan Poles today what they will dip into in terms of the cost of what they're doing, whether it is draft, whether it is money, whether in the case of Myles Garrett, trade for. I don't know if you heard it any differently than I did, Dan, but it seemed to be kept very ambiguous. Yes, we have these resources. Yes, we're going to do things, but they did not seem to clue us in on how they're going to go about taking care of these positions.
Yeah, nor should they, and we'll know soon enough. Within 2 months, we'll have a better understanding of how this roster comes together. I think Ryan referred to it as a big puzzle. If you're looking for some interpretations of what we heard today, I think there's some genuine confidence that the needs that the Bears have, both up front offensively and up front defensively, can be addressed in both free agency and the draft. It feels like they see a supply of players at those positions that meet the demand that they have at those positions, which should be encouraging. When it comes to free agency, Ryan was asked very specifically about his willingness to be extra aggressive, and he kind of gave the answer that we're expecting him to give, which is, look, free agency requires you to be selective. You don't want to overextend. At the same time, if you have a very clear vision for a specific player and you find a prospect that checks every single box you're looking for, that's the time to be aggressive. And that was one of those things that I think was red meat for every Bears fan that's looking for a big splash in 2 weeks, to hear that the Bears are willing to go make that big splash if they see a fit. And now it's up to us to determine if there's a fit there. And obviously the name that's been on everybody's mind for the last month and a half is Trey Smith from Kansas City. Obviously that's a guy that would address a huge need on the interior of the offensive line. Very talented player, young, mid-20s, you know, ready to get paid at a high level, familiarity with Poles. And then the big question there is, will he be on the open market in 2 weeks, or will Kansas City make sure that he doesn't get out their door, understanding what that type of position means to Patrick Mahomes?
Did you get any indication from Brett Veach over there? We were both in that. I didn't hear anything. Did you get any indication on either way for Trey Smith that they're thinking about keeping him?
Look, I got the impression that he's a high priority. I think that the Chiefs have a lot of balls in the air. They've got a lot of free agents, and they're, you know, living the life of one of those perennial Super Bowl contenders that has to make big decisions with big time players. But maybe the Super Bowl also reinforced for them once again, just as it did the last time they lost the Super Bowl, that the offensive line strength is the thing that has to be in place first and foremost. And so Brett Veach said very clearly that he's been in contact with Trey Smith's agents. He has had productive conversations, and he feels very optimistic at this moment that they can bring him back. Now, this is a week where a lot of conversations are had, and maybe that market balloons to a territory that the Chiefs don't feel comfortable venturing into. And maybe that opens a door for the Bears to make a bigger splash. We'll see. You know, a couple weeks from now, we will know. Certainly the Bears are going to be players in that game if that game is allowed to start. But the Chiefs have the first say in whether that game actually begins.
Yeah, and it was interesting to hear Ben Johnson talking about offensive line and saying very confidently, yes, it is realistic to change out the interior of your offensive line to replace three, you know, center, left guard, and right guard. And he gave a couple of examples. So, you know, Trey Smith, Kevin Zeitler, Mekhi Becton, all the usual suspects, and then the draft as well.
He specifically cited last year's Panthers as a team that went into free agency and did two big splash interior lineman signings, Robert Hunt being one of them. I think he got $100 million, and then Damian Lewis. And you did some fortification to your offensive front that Ben Johnson believes helped to bring out a better version of the Panthers offense and quarterback Bryce Young, who lived a similar rookie season like Caleb Williams did with dysfunction and coaching turnover, and then was able to refine himself once he was starting to play behind a line that was more functional. And so Ben Johnson's own sort of philosophy gives you the Panthers as an example of a team they might want to emulate this offseason.
We have all suspected, and Dan and I have talked about this multiple times on the podcast in regards to Ben Johnson and what kind of power he might have in terms of personnel. And, you know, obviously Ryan Poles is still the general manager of this team. He's the one that selects the players. So I did ask Ryan Poles today if it would be different with this head coach, with Ben Johnson, than it was with Matt Eberflus. While, you know, collaboration has always been a word that they have used, and obviously Matt Eberflus was able to give his input, and Ian Cunningham and all of his assistants, but it sure feels like this head coach might have more say. Here's how Ryan Poles answered that question.
Will Ben Johnson have more say than maybe his predecessor in terms of what he wants or what he thinks he needs on offense or defense?
No, I think it'll remain the same. We're constantly talking about how we need to go about improving our football team and adding to our football team. So those conversations will be happening almost on a daily basis, which is important in any relationship between a front office and a coaching staff, specifically a GM and a head coach.
It will remain the same. I don't know if I quite buy that, Dan. I think I understand why Ryan Poles is not going to sit here and say, yes, my power has gone down a notch and Ben Johnson will have personnel power. I think Ben Johnson is going to have more of a say in this than Matt Eberflus did.
Quick score update from Landover, Maryland. The Bears go to halftime down 9-0 to the Commanders, in case you were concerned about that game.
Okay, they're still at one good drive, man. Drive. I'm thinking of one good drive in the fourth quarter, you know?
Yeah. Maybe put together a couple of them and see where it lands. Look, yeah. I'm with you. The other thing you heard from Ryan on Tuesday morning was, and I'm going to read this, he said that there's a high football IQ on a totally different level than what I've seen or been a part of, which was like one of those where everybody's ears kind of perked up and everybody's eyes kind of widened when he said that. And so it doesn't necessarily have to come in the form of authority, right? Like the voice that Ben Johnson wields might just come from his intellect and his vision and then the ability to communicate that on a daily basis in ways that maybe his predecessor couldn't. And so that, I think, is an interesting part of this puzzle that Ryan doesn't necessarily have to cede ground on decision-making or authority as long as he's getting this constant productive input from his head coach. And that's going to be really fascinating to watch. And like the next phases of this, again, are this period of free agency in March and then the draft in April. And then you and I know we'll both walk into training camp with a view of a roster that will tell us just how much did they collectively get done to put this team in position to do what we said they should do, which is win 9 or 10 games and be in the mix all the way to the end.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the the intelligence thing, the high IQ thing, because one thing that Ben Johnson mentioned when we were down here at the podium behind us with Ben Johnson, he did offer again to us that he was a math and computer science major. So analytics are cool to him. We know how much he leaned on them in Detroit and what they are doing with that coaching staff. So I thought it was really interesting that Ben Johnson today, and we know he was asked about game management, which we know was an issue last year. When asked about that, he brought up one of the coaches that was retained in Harry Fried, who is the analytics guy, or the guy that was in the ear of Matt Eberflus last year. Ben Johnson and Harry Fried worked together in Miami, and it sounds like these two guys are getting together. What do you call it?
The breakfast club. 30 minutes club. Every morning. Yeah.
Every day talking about what Harry Fried's system is, and something that eventually when they start working with Caleb Williams, the three of them will huddle up. I don't think that this is as much for, Ben Johnson, of course, he said, hey, act like I'm an idiot and I know nothing, Harry, take me through it. We don't know if he has management issues, but really this is going to help Caleb Williams too. And so I'm glad. I think Bears fans should be happy that there is a coach that is meeting on a daily basis, learning how to manage games in the NFL.
Well, I'm not so sure that Matt Eberflus didn't do the same thing with the same person, right? And so then you do have to ask the question on, how does this apply to real life, real time situations? I have been privy to information over the years of that people have felt inside that building that Harry Fried is a tremendous asset to the Bears Monday through Saturday, and that when Sunday rolls around then the live bullets are flying, you have to have a smooth procedure to the way these decisions get made and the way these situations are managed. And so we won't have answers to that until they get into these real live situations, which obviously did not go well in 2024. And so that's up to Ben to kind of figure out what the rhythm and flow of that is going to look like. And I think he said, look, like when we get to the end of this program here in the winter and the spring, I'll kind of take a step back and determine what I want to relay to the players, and we'll operate from there. And so this will be something we'll have our eyes on when we're watching practices in the spring and the summer, but none of it really matters until you get into a real live game situation, unscripted, and people have to make decisions on the fly when they're not quite ready for some of the twists and turns that arise in a game, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and I will say this, as much as, the critiques of Matt Eberflus, which were justified, it is difficult to manage an NFL game. There are decisions that you're going to make that can be 50-50 decisions. It gets tight. It gets difficult. You can be presented with the information, but the head coach still has to make the decision. So, Dan, I think I'm just kind of backing you up on the fact that we have no idea. Ben Johnson is smart. He talks about math. He talks about computer science. He talks brilliant. About analytics. He speaks well. I have no idea if this man can manage an NFL game.